I'm so sorry. I've been saying that he's a guy this entire time, and she is a woman.
Her name's Charles?
Charlie. I'm so sorry, Dr. Charlie Farrer is a woman. I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
Hey there. We are Kimmy,
Kayleen,
and Courtney.
We're just three regular gals who love talking about film, and now we'd like to talk to you.
We've decided to break down our discussions into three parts.
Because everyone loves a gimmick.
We discuss our expectations for a film before we watch it.
That's take one.
We give our immediate thoughts following the film.
That's take two.
And finally, we research the film at length to prepare for an informed and in-depth discussion.
And that's take three.
So if you love film even a third as much as we do, join in on the conversation.
This is take three, a movie podcast.
Take one.
Hi, it's us.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Not Nick and Jordan.
Nope.
Were you tricked?
Were you tricked?
We tricked you. We tricked you. Uh-oh, no, it's three women! Run away!
We're here to talk about 50 Shades of Grey in three different takes.
In our crossover episode.
Yeah, it's the crossover. Mm-hmm. It's the crossover episode. Nick and Jordan are taking over the We Explain Movies format for 50 Shades of Grey, so we suggest that you go over to their channel and listen to their episode first, because it'll be a reiteration of the plot in its entirety, and then come on over here for some facty facts and some discussy-scuss.
Yeah, and if you wanted to be super extra, you could watch the movie, listen to their episode, come listen to our episode, and then...
just have yourself a grand old time.
And then have sex? I don't know. Oh. That's like really getting into it.
Hardcore fans will be reading the book first.
Oh, yes, true. There we go. That's
actually, and hardest core fans, before all
the
of that,
fanfic.
Twilight Marathon.
Wow.
Read all the Twilights, Midnight Sun included. You're welcome.
God. Oh, my God.
We've just created the biggest picture.
Oh, my God, guys. My whole week is planned.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah. And once again, that's take three, the number three, on all podcast platforms. If you found this one, you can find theirs.
Yes. Who said it? Nick or Jordan, but one of them says that they really love the movie.
Nick.
And think that Nick says he loves
he
the movie.
He was like, I want it to be studied.
And yeah, that it should be studied and that there's a lot of merit to it, which I'm really interested to hear his take on it. Because for me, it's just a good fucking stupid silly time.
Right.
But I hope...
So what are all of our histories with it? You go first.
Oh, well, actually...
Because okay, we saw that together.
Yes, this is very exciting, episode two, because this movie, or the subsequent movies, are kind of the...
instigator of our podcast.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
The also, happy 69, bitches. Nice.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, sure, I'll share my thoughts first, because I saw it alone, and I was very much a part of what I'll talk about in our take three, which is the research portion of this podcast. I was part of the anti-50 Shades.
Mm. Wow.
Army.
So
I don't know what to call us.
Dakota.
Oh, no, not
like,
at all.
I don't ever want to see your titties again.
No, that wasn't it. Instead, it was, I was just, like, aware of the... Twitter backlash and of the points against this film, and I'm really excited to talk about it in take three, but Mara Wilson championing, like, a boycott
yes.
of this film is my favorite thing, and, like, the fight she got into with E.L. James is hysterical.
Wow. Yeah.
So, something else I'll have to look up is, when I went to see it, I bought tickets to another movie, and then snuck into this theater.
Oh, fun.
I was like, I'm not gonna give them my money. It seems like it's really problematic. It's really not. It's just meant to
it's
turn
just...
people on.
Stupid. I mean, should
exactly.
I say that as we're like, we need to study it, but like, I just remember it was like, it's not doing any harm to anyone, it's just there.
Yes.
I guess I felt like, who is taking this movie seriously enough to get upset by it?
True.
That's what I felt.
Well, I think that's something that the movie was really clever in doing that I think that the book took itself too seriously on, is that they're kind of taking...
The piss?
The piss out of
it. Are you saying that because we saw it in England?
Oh, yeah, we did see it in England. No, like, I feel like in a way they are self-aware about how stupid it is.
I don't know if they are.
You don't think that she is? Because I found the movies much more enjoyable than the books.
You read the books?
Yes,
even
I
haven't read the books.
Yes, I did. I did.
Ooh, fun story. Sorry, this is a really quick sidetrack. On New Year's of 2013, I spent it with a bunch of my, like, girlfriends from high school, even though we weren't in high school anymore. We spent New Year's together, and one of the activities we decided to participate in was looking up
the book
Fifty Shades of Grey, And what you do is you go around, you take turns saying really inappropriate shit, and you try to make your friends laugh. And that then if they so do, fun. They lose.
Let's play that in round three.
It's really adorable. Fun.
So I guess my history with the movie is that my senior year of high school, I worked at Sports Authority.
Wow.
The sporting goods department store.
And you read
store.
This on your breaks?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Kimmy!
I would walk over to
you
the Subway.
You were the Phyllis of your job.
I walked over to the Subway to get a chopped salad.
I'm sorry, but that poor Subway employee watching this weird teen come in and read Fifty Shades while eating like a balsamic salad.
I always made sure that the book was curved so that nobody could see that it was that book.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I read the whole first book. I was like, that wasn't very good and not even that extreme. I guess I'll have to see what the second one is.
Yeah.
So, and then I did read the whole second one.
The second one gets intense, and I like that.
I thought
about
it was the same goddamn shit.
Wasn't that the one where he, like, brings a gun and he's stalking her?
Or is
that
the third one?
Okay.
The second one has a plane crash.
Yeah, there's something.
And he comes out of it, he's like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Like,
I'm just trauma.
But the way that it was written, I was like, this is literally the exact same shit. Like, nothing has changed.
Right.
Nothing has progressed. Nobody's character arcs have become more complex, their voices are the same, it looks like a copy-paste.
Yeah.
Well, because it is a copy-paste, it is Twilight fan fiction.
Do you think the boys know that? Is that common knowledge?
It is common knowledge, but I don't know if they know it.
Yeah.
I don't know how common their knowledge is.
Boys, are you gonna find that out, or do you already know? I would love to know. Hit me up.
It's just that the Jacob character within it never fleshes out her friend who's like the photographer.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Stalker one or another?
No.
The friend
he's
who
like,
takes all those photos.
I
of
literally
her.
Don't remember him at all.
I think his name is something.
Is it Jose?
Like, something like.
Like Jacob?
Yeah.
Jack.
Jack's the stalker. The bad guy, which is like James. He's also the bad guy.
It's something
it's
like.
Odd, though.
It's like.
Guys, I kind of wish we were doing Twilight instead.
That'd be amazing. But yeah. Whereas Twilight kills their villain in the first one so that there are new villains, 50 Shades does not. They leave the same
right.
villain throughout all three movies.
And in the and third then, one. Oh, God. I know we're not doing the third one, but in the third one, the stakes are gone so fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's, like, never in danger.
She's never in danger.
Stupid.
And there's no love triangle because Christian is her one and only,
yeah.
and he won't let her speak to anyone else. So how could it ever move anywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
What I was surprised about was how funny the movie was when I watched it. And that made me feel like there was an essence of being self-aware about how shitty it was.
Okay, here's my take just from memory. I feel like Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan wanted so badly to not be there, but some of the shit came across as funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the people other than them, like the director, the writer, all these people behind it, I think were like, we are making
it's art.
Cinema.
Yeah.
Okay, time for a tough topic. The director of 50 Shades of Grey, Sam Taylor Johnson.
Is that a woman?
And she is married to
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
And recently, when we decided we were going to do this, I was up late at night, and I, like, Googled Sam Taylor Johnson. I went on her Wikipedia page. Her Wikipedia page, somebody has been editing it, so where her job used to say director and photographer, it now says groomer.
Oof.
And she is much, much older than him.
Damn.
Honestly, if we're getting into these topics, we were just talking about how in Fosse Verdon, there's a scene where these men make light of Fosse being assaulted as a kid. They're like, wow, how lucky are you? And I feel like it's always, yeah. And so it's like, I mean, yeah, shedding light on women do it too.
Women do it too, and now she's making a movie that got a lot of backlash from a community I'm not a part of and that I really have no stakes in. But, you know, the BDSM community was very upset with how
yeah.
this handled everything. But then we as just patrons of movies and we as just, like, women having a fun, silly Twilight time, you go see it and, like, the contract scene is hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous, stupid thing that
yeah.
no one could ever imagine being sexy or wanting to be a part of, but it's
yeah.
funny.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad because I, in a way, I'm going into this with, like, I don't think it's a good movie, but
I'm going
into this kind of, like, with a positive light, which is why I haven't really been talking for a little bit because that this information is, like, really upsetting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
We can cut it because this can be a fun, silly time because I do really look forward to Nick because Nick has said, like, my taste is not for everybody. And
mm-hmm.
I respect and love his takes on everything because he just loves what he loves,
mm-hmm.
as we all do. And it's fun to get excited about what you love.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I 100% agree. And also, like, and we don't have to get into the whole, like, separating the art from the artist conversation right now, but everybody who collaborates together to create a film, like, darling Dakota Johnson, God forbid anything comes to light in a bad way about
she
her.
She lied to us about the limes.
She did. She did lie about the limes. But not everybody who is an artist who goes in together in this group to create a film has bad intentions.
Yeah.
And it's just really shitty that somebody's wrongdoings takes a toll on everybody involved. Yeah. Like, that one fucked up fucking person.
Right.
Fucks it up for everybody.
Well, and also it's like, I mean, like you said, I definitely don't remember this as something where I was like, man, art, you know? But if it was what Dakota needed to get her in all the movies, then great. I don't think she liked being in these, but without these movies, she might still be just a cameo in TV shows. So,
yeah, I do love Dakota Johnson. She's my girl. And so anything that she has been in, I've enjoyed just because I get to watch her, and I'm almost through like all of her filmography. And so this movie, I am looking forward to what the boys have to say. I mean, sorry, Jordan, but particularly Nick, because he's the one explaining it. And just what he finds enjoyable about it. But for us, we do watch it to laugh at
it. I expect to have a giggle fest.
I do too.
I'm actually really excited to kind of look at it analytically, because I've never done that before for this movie, and I wonder if that's going to change anything for me is how I perceive this movie.
Absolutely.
I'm so sorry, Keelan. Did you say your history concerning this film?
It was with you.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember it as much as you do.
It was Valentine's Day, and we were in England. Me, Kimmy, and Dakota were all in England together, and it was Valentine's Day, and so even for, like, Valentine's Day, we're like, well, we still have to do something as a threesome, because there's, like, all three of us, and we decided...
So you had a threesome.
So we had a threesome.
In the theater. And so we were like, what's something fun we could go do that's, like, Valentine's Eve, but for all of us? And we just thought that would be funny to go see 50 Shades. Mm. So we saw it in a silly little theater in England.
Weren't we, like, the only ones?
I think we were, and then, like, some old people behind us, and we were like, this is... And I think all of us were just, like, cackling, and we're like, are we making people uncomfortable?
I was... There were so many... mom best friends.
Oh, fuck.
Like, just
who
couples.
Were, like, drunk moms.
Not even. Just, like, couples of women who were like, I need this.
Yikes. Yeah, no, we definitely had a silly time, how I imagine we will have today watching it.
I'm excited today.
Yeah. We're gonna record take two today, everyone, so beware.
Yeah. So just before, if that's all the concluding comments, just to wrap it up, what were your thoughts, just, like, final thoughts about your watching of the film?
Every time I watched it, it was because, like, when we watched the sequels, I was like, this is because I want to have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I wanted to, I guess it's very, like, what's it called? The science, what's the show where they, the old-ass show? Science.
Mythbusters?
No. Where they watch stuff and they make fun of it, and it's a big, it's like.
Mystery Theater?
Yes.
Science Mystery
called?
Theater 3000, something
or
other.
Yes, that one. Mystery and I can't Science think of what Theater it's called. 3000. I think it's that. Mystery. God, we sound like idiots. Mystery Science Theater, something like that.
3000.
Anyway, I feel like it's that, where every time we've wanted to watch the sequels, it's because we know that we can make fun of them and we can be funny. So that's what I'm excited about.
Similar to most things that I do in my life, I do it to be in the know about pop culture. I will watch trash that I don't enjoy because pop culture, because I can't go through life knowing there's something I haven't read or seen out there. So I would see these movies to just be in the know, and so that if God forbid it arose the topic at a senator's dinner party I had been invited to, and I needed to pull out of my ass some thoughts about 50 Shades Freed, I would have it.
And now that we're doing this episode, you'll be able to pull out analytical thoughts, and people will be like, can you believe she studied that shit? What a fucking scholar.
Here's the box office information. Here's what you need to know.
So anyways, I would watch it just to be in the know, but even that didn't lead me to read the books. I watched that Gilbert Gottfried video where he reads lines from the books, and that's enough. There's a line in there about, like, I felt like a lady hamster eating her young.
Is it?
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I watched it to watch it and know about it. But did I ever,
think it was art?
Think it was art? No. Do I think Dakota Johnson is hot?
Heart?
Yes. She's very hot. She's so beautiful. And,
just thinking about the second one too, with like all of his, he has all the backstory about being abused as a kid.
Yes, again.
Jesus Christ.
Was it the same director for the second one?
I don't know.
Fuck that bitch. I'm starting a petition.
Cancel 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. How many years later? Five? Six?
Six.
I don't know, man. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. Ooh, also, one of the things I want to be on the lookout for that we've all talked about is that the movie's like, I'm so sexy, I'm so raunchy, and it'll do something like, I'm gonna put you in handcuffs, and then we're gonna fuck missionary.
Yeah, it's so missionary. Yeah, like every scene is missionary.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't even do it from behind. Like,
I was gonna say, do we count up all the times they do missionary, but it's all of them.
It's literally all of them. So. Missionary on the table, missionary on the wall.
Ice on the nipples, then missionary.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's watch it.
Take two. Yeah. We were just watching it. Like, literally just.
We literally just.
You hear it?
Oh, yeah. My. Fade out, wow.
Yeah, fade out. Fade away.
We're high tech up in here.
Fade out. 50 Shades of fading away.
Straight off the bat, let me just say, all of us were the opposite of turned on while watching this movie.
Okay, everyone, pause this episode, watch the first fucking Twilight movie, get aroused, and then come back, because, God, I'm honestly, it was worse than I think it was worse than I remember.
It was,
it was a snooze fest.
I think I said in the take one, I'm like, oh, I'm really interested to
look at it critically.
Look at it critically, and I really just think that fucked it up.
I'm sorry not to put you on blast, Kimmy, but Kimmy spent the last 40 minutes on her phone.
I'm sorry, it's so bad.
And I don't judge you for it.
Mostly just trying to, like, figure shit out. Like,
where do I even begin? The whole movie, we were just waiting for iconic lines like, I'm 50 Shades of fucked up.
That comes out, like, minute 200 out of 205.
Yeah.
Or what was the first one that we were excited about? Oh, what are butt plugs?
What are butt plugs? That also comes at, like, the hour and 30-minute mark.
I had to wait so long for these lines.
We had to wait so long for them. I mean, I'm going to turn the table over to Kimmy, because I think she's the most mad.
Honestly, I wish you guys could see her face. She looks like she never wants to see me again.
Or a movie.
I'm just, like, really mad. Because I think that I went into this the most optimistic.
She looks fucking mad.
I'm
like, at us. I'm upset.
I didn't do anything to you.
I just kind of wish that I went in with lower expectations so I could have a blasty blast like you guys did. I was cracking up and I was just humming and hawing the whole fucking time.
That's true. Yeah, we were having fun.
Also, okay, so for listeners, Daniel, if you've heard us mention him on the podcast before, he decided he would come watch it with us, and that was pretty fun because he did point out some good stuff. Like, for one, he was like, is all of her dialogue gonna be just questions? And I shit you not, the next maybe 12 lines of hers were only questions. Mm-hmm. It was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, a majority of Anastasia's lines are questions.
Yikes.
They are. And then when we had about 30 to 35 minutes left of the movie, I paused it to tell a fun story. And he went, please no. Please do not pause it. Please just let it play.
He didn't want one more second extended.
Which, fair. Fair.
Yeah, mostly, I think, other than the fact that, which I didn't pay attention too long, but it's really poorly shot. Like, it's just really boring.
Nothing was interesting.
Yeah.
And there are some heavy hitters on the crew list for this movie, which makes no sense.
No. Other than that, I just wanted to say that Dakota Johnson knocked it out of the park.
No, she's amazing.
She did.
Yes, head and shoulders above Jamie.
Her goofiness outside of the club when she calls him that first time was so funny. She's like, you're always like, Anastasia, stay away. Anastasia, come here.
Yeah.
That was so cute.
I wrote that.
She understood it.
Jamie Dornan is so uncharismatic.
He's like a bag of potatoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Dakota Johnson is taking this stupidly written woman and lifting her off the page and making us feel empathy and...
Yeah.
We think she's funny. She's funny.
She is funny.
What sucks is everything that's unbelievable about her character has to do with the writing. Like, why on earth would I believe this woman has never opened a door before and would trip upon opening a door? Yeah. But overall, she herself does capture somebody who's bewildered, somebody who is unsure of themselves. And I think it's really a full-fledged character that she brings to the table and... I don't want to say anything about the sequels because I'm like, as far as I know, my memory is unreliable and
trash.
But I think she holds it up consistently, whereas I know Jamie Dornan does the same shit every movie, and it never improves.
It was so surprising. It was so shocking just to see how... I really feel like there's not many movies that I watch where I see an actor doing a poor job. Mm. Like, even regardless of the writing, like, and even, like, experience of the actor or, like, the longevity of their career, even if it's really small, it's very rare that I actively see an actor doing a bad job on screen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't really think of many. Like, maybe when I watched a couple episodes of Pretty Little Liars once, I was like, that's bad. But Jamie Dornan just has no life behind his eyes.
Yeah.
And I think that it's his very strong distaste for the character.
Yeah.
And us all having gone...
Much like Robert.
Yeah, us all having gone through acting degrees and stuff like that, we know that regardless of the character that you're going to play...
All of us could have played Christian Grey. No.
I'm saying you can't go into playing a story judging your character.
Yeah, right.
Even if you're playing, like, a murderer. Like,
right.
You have to find the justification for playing that.
Why would that be fun for you if you did? Like, any of the bad characters I've played, it's like, if I play them as if they're bad, like...
So, okay, so here's something that I remembered. I didn't write it down until very close to the end of the movie, but then I remembered this is something that Kimmy and I talked about when we watched the second and or third one, is that I remember saying... I think they have a lot of sexual chemistry, Dakota and Jamie, but romantic chemistry, fucking non-existent. Mm-hmm. And to be a movie like this where it's like, yes, the sexual chemistry is supposed to be, like, at the forefront, but you're also supposed to have this, like, underlying, no, we love each other in this really fucked up way. That doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it so uninteresting because when they look at each other, it's like, as pieces of meat, you know? The only interesting parts... are when they do a little bit of sexy time and it's still not even convincing because they have no romantic chemistry. I guess that's like my big difference between this and what it was based off of Twilight, where it's like, the things that turn me on in Twilight are like human interaction, people being good people, or like protective people, whereas in this one, the only things that ever turn me on is like sex things, but they're so shallow.
They're so shallow.
I can't get into them.
I felt at a standstill the whole time. Those characters are going nowhere.
And I don't want listeners to think that I'm bashing Jamie Dornan as an actor. I haven't actually really seen him in anything else except for Wild Mountain Time.
Oh.
It was so bad.
I mean, I saw him in Barb and Star, and they gave him a full musical number.
That's lovely.
It seems like there's, like, a slight gap between... Robert Pattinson seemed to hate playing Edward, but he still took it seriously enough to when I watch him, I'm like, that's fucking Edward. But it seems like Jamie hated Christian and was like, I'm not even gonna fucking try.
No, he's just gonna collect the paycheck.
There is no Christian, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Dakota took it as, this is my step. I love her. I love her so much. I loved her since The Social Network. I remember back in the day being like, who was that girl? Because I liked her in this movie. And then I was thrilled to see her in other things since then. But for that to be like her first lead role, I'm thrilled for her. That's her big blockbuster moment. And she's only done better since.
It seems like she did take it seriously.
Oh, she did.
Like I remember my original watch, I definitely did dismiss her in the same way I did Jamie Dornan. Upon this watch, I'm like, she fucking tried.
Yeah.
She was like, people will see this. I hope they see that I have fucking talent despite this bullshit movie. And they did see that.
I think that she strives to find the truth in her character.
Totally.
And that's why it's so funny and, like,
that's why she's likable.
What I feel like Jamie Dornan is doing, in a sense, is just playing the idea of the character.
Like a caricature.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's any ounce of him that thought it wouldn't go past the first movie.
that's a huge possibility.
Highly possible, yeah.
It's a huge possibility. And that's kind of scary or daunting to an actor to see a book series with three books in it and wonder, oh my god, what if they even want to break up the third one into two movies?
Well, and
where,
like,
will I be?
I wonder if after seeing the success of something like Twilight, is there a part of you that thinks, like, this is gonna fucking explode like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm curious about the box office. I do think it was very successful at the box office.
So I wanted to pose this question to you guys for you to reveal your answers in take three. So this movie's casting process was one of the most talked about castings in Hollywood at the time. And I know that there was a lot of drama, especially having to do with fan choice. But my question is, if you were to recast this movie, who would you cast as Christian and Anastasia? And I want to...
Oh, and Anastasia.
Yeah.
Because I already told you both.
I mean, if you would want to keep... If you would want to keep either actor, I would just... If you change one out, do they measure up still? Like, do they do they go together still? So... Whatever edits to the casting that you would do.
Yeah, I would have to think about Anastasia.
And I guess I would want to say that it's not about which actors you would want to subject this experience to.
Yeah.
It's just about who you think would have done a better job.
Yeah.
Can we also, for laughsies, do director? Because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you want to edit the director and see?
I mean, I want to edit everything. I want to edit the director, the script writer, okay, and the editor.
No.
Take three. The source material.
No, you guys, take three. We're actually not going to do a take three. We're all going to rewrite the script and read them.
Oh, yeah.
That's take three.
I want to include that hamster line. Yeah. Before we answered the question Kimmy proposed in take three, could I just ask y'all, who do you think does have romantic chemistry on screen? Yeah, on screen, but like maybe for movies only or
I mean, Kristen and Robert for sure have romantic chemistry.
Okay.
And they were together in real life, so it makes sense.
I don't know if I would pick them for like the epitome of chemistry.
I would pick them for the epitome. But it's just like if I'm thinking off the top of my head.
Oh, just anyone? For sure did. Just anyone. Viggo Mortensen and Liv Tyler in Lord of the Rings.
Okay. I think this is overstepping the bounds a little bit, but for sure's Kristen Bell and Jason Doering in Veronica Mars.
Dude, stop. Stop. I can't handle it.
Their sex scene in the Veronica Mars movie?
What a hottie.
Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal in Brokeback Mountain.
Ooh, nice.
Talk about, like, restricted love. You know?
Isaac Gonzalez and
Rosamund Pike yes, and I Care exactly. a Lot. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's too good.
They're the hottest lesbians.
So do we all want to talk about what our roles are in take three? The boys don't usually do this, but there is a third more of us.
We don't know what we're doing, so we always get nervous.
I would like to really do my facts and tell you all about the Mara Wilson E.L. James standoff. I'm very excited about that.
I would like to research the working relationship between Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson and just their general feelings about the film, maybe in retrospect, if that's possible.
Does anyone have a stake in researching, like, BDSM?
Well, that's... Sure. Oh, I do. I'm curious. I would just because I'm really uneducated in... I know that the BDSM community had a lot of gripes with it being portrayed in an offensive way. And me, as somebody who has no idea what that community is about, I'm watching it not really knowing specifically what the issues are, even though I can... feel red flags happening all over the place. I just want to be clear on what those were and what the BDSM community specified as their qualms about the film.
And that's part of the Mara Wilson thing.
What are you going to research, Kayleen?
Maybe the relationship to Twilight.
Nice.
Ooh. Like the connections and or influences by the author.
I would
like
love
author
to,
stuff.
To find the original Wattpad posting.
Wattpad?
That's a fan fiction website.
Oh.
You'll do some box office.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah. Good deal.
Take two. That was fun. Take three.
Okay, here we are to dissect 50 Shades of Grey.
Yay.
So let's start off with the box office, with the money. The budget for this movie was $40 million. Do you want to guess what the worldwide gross was?
$800 million. I'm super bad at, like,
I know. I feel like it's like that game where you say, like, whoa, guess how much it was, and then they guess way too crazy and they're not impressed.
What's reasonable? Like, is it, like, is 600 million, like, oh, that's fucking ridiculous.
I don't think it would get to a billion. That seems...
No.
Oh, can you imagine?
I know it hasn't, actually, because I watched a thing about movies that made over a billion recently. So I'm going to go with 400 million. Okay. 10 times what it was worth.
Yes.
600 million.
It was... 570 million.
Oh my god, middles.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a really good profit for their budget.
Yeah.
Opening weekend, they doubled their budget, and that was only domestic, so good for them.
Maybe they should have used a little bit more budget to improve this movie.
Maybe. I saw a thing about their opening weekend that made me giggle. It broke the box office record their opening weekend, it was all very specific. It was like the highest record for a February release. Mm. And so it held that record and it had beaten the previous record holder, which was Passion of the Christ.
Whoa. Oh my God. This is a passionate film.
That's a 180.
Another film featuring quipping.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
Is there quipping in that?
In Passion of the Christ?
They do it to Jesus.
What if, I know this is not what you think, but what if Kimmy was like, oh, I thought it was about, like, Jesus fucking.
Yeah, then, like, it beat the best Valentine's Day movie, which the previous record holder was Valentine's Day.
Oh.
That's not surprising. It's not that's not surprising. Shitty.
Yeah.
I think I saw it on Valentine's Day.
In my humble opinion.
Let me actually, since we're talking about money, let me, you know, talk about this little factoid that I kind of found out about. And I want to just tell listeners right now that pretty much like 90% of the quote facts that I have, I'm going to say are like basically conjecture. This movie isn't like some kind of artistic voyage. You know, it was Rumorville and gossip and tabloids and stuff. And there weren't like very high profile articles that I could get information from. So I'm just going to say that this could be true.
Mm, if, fair.
But I'm not going to say that it's
100%
true.
I found a whole page that was like conspiracy theories about 50 Shades of Grey that were just like, people think this might be implied. Things yeah. like that.
Yeah. So just take everything I say with a grain of salt. It's just what I read. It's not 100% fact. Okay. So yes, in terms of money, both leads of this film apparently took a shockingly low paycheck for the budget of this film. Apparently, they both got $250,000 each.
What did it were go they? Up in the sequels?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Their salaries, yeah, while they are shockingly low compared to the overall box office success of the film, both stars did reportedly receive an undisclosed percentage of the box office take, which probably helped to balance
out. I mean, out of 570 mil?
Yeah.
I don't know, obviously, but maybe they took less for a deal for the percentage. Like, maybe they banked on it.
Yeah, and then, you know, as the popularity and success of the films increased, they both argued for seven-figure salaries in the subsequent films.
Seven figures, dang. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, like, a small victory, I guess, is that they were paid equal rather than Dakota being paid less.
True. And apparently both of their net worth is the same.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
What the fuck has he done?
I mean, at the time that this article was written.
So. Okay, so, like, in 2015?
Yeah. Okay, so now I guess I can talk about Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan's working relationship, because apparently, like, when this film was coming out, there was some gossip that they didn't get along or something like that. And I tried really hard to find articles or tabloids that reference that, and I couldn't really find any anymore. Oh. But in the interviews that I did watch, their working relationship is addressed by interview hosts on many of them, where they talk about, hey, we heard about all this gossip.
Oh, really?
What's the deal? And they both express that, no, they don't know what they're talking about. Mm. The situation would have been miserable if they didn't get along.
Definitely.
And because due to the material, they were kind of forced to become best friends. Like, you kind of have to. You have to have that trust.
You would hope.
like I was talking about. I watch a lot of Graham Norton Show interviews. Mm. You ever watch Graham Norton Show?
No.
I fucking love the Graham Norton Show.
It's very laid back.
It's laid back. Everybody's drinking. They talk about the real shit that you can't talk about in the U.S.
Mm. That's
you
true.
Know? I think it's funny. Everybody seems to be having a great time.
Yeah.
So on this episode of the Graham Norton Show, Jamie Dornan talked about how he tries to keep a lot of humor during the sets because there's like a lot of intensity going on, and that he would try to make Dakota Johnson laugh during the sex scenes.
Nice.
Like during like when in the script it says, oh, he has to, you know, orgasm. He would make a funny noise like do 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 do.
Oh my God.
Funny. And this is a little bit interesting, and he laughs about it. On the Jimmy Kimmel Show, he referred to their relationship as very brother and sister like.
Oh, I see.
And he's like, I know that. You
I
know.
Feel like as a married man, you have to say something like that. You're like, you're watching wife.
Talking about him being married, people critiqued Dornan and Johnson's distance during interviews, and rumors surfaced that they hated each other. And the rumors were actually shut down by the director, Sam Taylor Johnson, who set things straight, apparently, on USA Today in 2015. And she's quoted as saying, everyone likes to gossip, and so many stories are utterly untrue. they're funny and sweet together. I don't know if everyone expected them to have a Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson thing. Jamie is married with a small baby. Dakota is in a relationship. It's a movie. It was work. They get along fine.
Exactly. They're both respectful.
That's
I'm
a
sure.
nice quote.
And my last fact kind of on this topic, which might lead into other stuff having to do with Jamie Dornan and what I was really interested about as far as his performance, because mm-hmm. I was like highly disappointed by yeah. it. is he says that there were times when Dakota was not wearing much and I had to do stuff to her that I'd never choose to do to a woman. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about, how you can't judge your characters.
Right.
And it's all not real. Like, mm-hmm. you're doing something out of a script. It's not real. You're an actor.
I wonder if, like, just because I've never been in an acting situation that is this vulnerable, of course, like, I just wonder if it's kind of at that point, if it gets harder, you know, to blur the lines where it's like, you don't want to become enveloped in your character because you're worried about the safety of this other human, mm-hmm. you know, like, I wonder if he struggled with that because he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah. He seems really down to earth.
I wonder if it was hard for him to get into the character because yeah. he was worried about her.
I'd much rather work with somebody having a hard time relating to their character than somebody going full method,
exactly.
of course. Yeah. Yeah. But I think that there are plenty of actors who know how to walk that middle and who know
for
how to
sure.
be
yeah. Turn it on, turn it off. And that's what I have to say about their relationship. They seem really, like, good friends. And,
that's good.
And so that was nice to find out.
Yeah. Okay, moving into E.L. James. So E.L. James wrote the book, and do you know what it was originally called?
Oh, I noticed the note, but I don't remember
okay.
what it was called.
It is originally called Master of the Universe.
Okay.
That's fucking dramatic.
Oh, get ready. She wrote it under the name Snow Queen's Ice Dragon.
That is the kind of person that writes fan fiction.
That is the kind of Jesus person that writes Christ. Fan fiction. And the original fanfic was 846 pages long.
That is too much.
And I almost got a computer virus trying to download it.
Oh.
She has scrubbed it from the internet. And I, like, am good at finding stuff on the internet, but I couldn't.
I was going to say, I wrote down a quote. If anyone wants to read, I believe it's part of the first book. I don't know if it's the whole thing. It's could be found at 50shadesofgrayforyou.blogspot.com.
Yeah, I went to a few things like that where it was PDFs and stuff, but I'm sure she's only letting certain things out yeah. because there are times throughout it where her search and replace did not work, and so it'll just flat out say Edward instead of Christian.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
It'll say Cullen instead of Gray.
That's hilarious.
She wasn't hiding it until she got a book deal, and then she had to hide it, and I laugh.
So the director, Sam Taylor Johnson, claimed that the sex scenes were choreographed, but there's no mention of who choreographed them, which leads me to believe that she choreographed yeah. them herself. That doesn't make me feel too good. I even right. looked up, I have IMDb Pro so I can see the entire crew list of people, and there's no indication of an intimacy coordinator.
I was going to ask, that because you're aware of that. That's,
yeah. Mm. Well, I'm get into a little bit of history on that. There's no indication of an intimacy coordinator involved in the crew or the staff. The only thing remotely in that category would be Liam Helmer, who was credited as the BDSM technical consultant.
I was going to say, he was the best boy.
For people who don't know, this is something that I personally find super interesting and something that I've researched in the past.
Specify what?
An intimacy coordinator. For people who don't know, is a staff member who ensures the well-being of actors who participate in sex scenes or other intimate scenes in theater, film, and television. The Intimacy Director International, which is a nonprofit organization, was founded in 2016 by Alicia.
Gee, I wonder why.
Rose. Why it was made by a woman?
No, why?
In what year?
In 2016. And this is not to be confused with an intimacy choreographer, which is yeah. somebody who does yeah. choreograph the scenes. So like an intimacy coordinator specifically is somebody who gives the actors a voice and advocates for them on set and makes sure that everything that's involved in a scene of intimacy is contractually agreed upon. Like I said, the nonprofit was founded in 2016. I didn't see either of these roles on the list of the crew. But the demand for these roles grew in the U.S. entertainment industry after 2017 as a reaction to the Weinstein scandal
yeah,
and the subsequent Me Too movement.
Of course.
Yeah. Speaking of Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some dark secrets about this person I don't know about. But speaking of people who aren't Sam Taylor Johnson, Angelina Jolie was offered to direct this movie.
It would have been better.
Obviously, she didn't. I just thought that was interesting. That was, like, a fact I saw in several different places. And I wonder what that would have been like. Yeah. So anyway, that was really my only random fun fact about the movie. So I'm going to go into some Twilight versus 50 Shades similarities.
Please do.
I didn't write down a ton. Honestly, a lot of the ones that I found online were like, this actor looks like this actor. And I was like, I'm aware. Thank you. So like all the ones we said where it's like, Christian is Edward. And I'm like, wow, that's really insightful. One that I thought was interesting, just because it's like kind of a smaller side one, is that both of his siblings have resemblances to Edward's siblings, mm-hmm. so Jasper and Alice. And then the other thing being that he's adopted, which technically Edward is too, by his parents, and they cast people who look really similar to Carlisle and Esme. We said this when we were watching the movie, I think you said it, Courtney, but there's the scene where Christian pulls Anna back before she like steps into the street, which is just a lame-ass version of when Edward stops the truck from hitting Bella.
Oh, yeah, and then I started singing Tremble for My Beloved.
Yeah.
It fits so well.
Another one that we pointed out while watching it is just the piano bullshit. Christian's like, I play piano, too, and it's like, did you write her a lullaby, though?
I was just gonna say that. Did you? I don't think you did.
Did we already talk about it, how it's that meme where it's like, can I copy your homework? And it's like,
We did with Divergent.
Yeah.
Right. There's also just the whole filming style and the setting of the Pacific Northwest is very similar. Oh, this one is just kind of like, I don't know, silly, I guess. And it's kind of more observational. It's just that the whole, like, repressed and extreme sexuality of this movie and of Twilight, because it's like, you know, she's a virgin when she meets Christian, Bella's a virgin when she meets Edward, and then, like, once they start to get into the sex stuff in Twilight, they're like, Rosalie used to break houses with Emmett and shit like that, and they're like, my body's covered in bruises, so it's like, in a way, it's like, they did start the whole, like, BDSM thing in Twilight, and E.L. James is just like, I'm gonna ride with that. And then the last thing is just some stuff about Bella. One, that she's clumsy, which we see in the first fucking 2 seconds of the movie, because you can't walk through a door frame. The virgin thing that I said. And then the lip biting, which Dakota Johnson does all the time, which Kristen Stewart also does. And I wanted you to say the little fact that you wrote, and then I have a follow-up fact.
Yes, when we were watching it, as soon as I saw her bite her lip, I decided to count. She bites her lip 6 times throughout the movie, and given the movie's runtime, that is an average of 1 lip bite every 20 minutes.
So
thanks for that, Matt.
Be on the lookout.
So I saw that Courtney wrote that fact, and I was like, I wonder, especially if it's like copied from Kristen, I wonder how much Kristen does it. I found
the number,
a compilation online.
It's a lot more.
And I counted, and in just the compilation itself, that means like me saying maybe they missed some or whatever, there were 9.
Was that just Twilight
just
or all the franchise?
Just the first Twilight.
How long is the Twilight runtime?
I don't know.
That's annoying, though, because I feel like that's actually like a Kristen Stewart idiosyncrasy.
It is.
Mm. Yeah.
There was a compilation of that before the Twilight.
I mean, if you look up people doing impressions of Kristen Stewart, it's the lip bite and the pulling the hair halfway across your head. Whereas Dakota Johnson, I've seen her bite her lip, but she bites it very differently. Mm. She does just like a straight over the middle.
Yeah, Kristen does like a whole lick every time. It's like
Oh my god. Oh my god. Hmm. Are you the same amount of time?
2 minutes of, or 2 minutes and
2 hours
seconds.
And five.
Whoa.
Twilight is 1 minute longer than 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow.
But Kristen bites her lip an average of once every 15 minutes.
That's crazy. Wow. So that's something to look forward to if you watch either of these movies.
Twilight is 1 minute longer than 50 Shades of Grey. Wow.
Doesn't it feel like an eternity, 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, it does.
Twilight goes by so fast, I'm like, can I watch it again?
I know.
That's what good
right
pacing
now,
does.
I've never given much thought to how I would die. But dying in the place of someone I love.
Seems like a good way to go.
What if we just fucked the boys over and did a Twilight episode? And released it on the same
day.
Or
we just start, like, the whole time we're just saying facts about Twilight, but I'm saying, like, Dakota Johnson, but it's actually about Kristen Stewart.
In the scene where Dakota Johnson breaks her leg,
And the scene where Christian has to suck the blood out.
Carlisle!
We said that for about 5 minutes during the 50 Shades minute. Yeah. I can't get it out of my head now. Oh, that's funny. Funny. Anyway, that's all my Twilight versus 50 Shades thoughts.
I can roll off of that with some other fun things, because the Mara Wilson, E.L. James beef was actually hysterical.
Oh, I'm excited.
Before the movie came out, sweet, naive Snow Queen's Ice Dragon thought that it would be fun to do a Q&A on Twitter.
I have a question. Is she the Snow Queen's Ice Dragon?
There's no apostrophe.
Okay.
So plural Snow Queen.
Snow Queen's Ice Dragon.
Whoa.
I don't understand grammar-wise what she's going for.
I don't
for.
Either.
It's
I love it.
I don't. You would have gotten here, Kimmy, but it's like Moira's Rose's Rose Garden.
Yeah. Like, she's not. She. It says, like, Snow Queen's apostrophe.
No.
Oh, Ice Dragon.
It's listed on her Wikipedia page as one of her, like, pet names.
That's funny.
Because her name's not even E.L. James. It's Erica Mitchell.
Stupid.
Snow Queen's Ice Dragon.
Fuck your stupid name.
Stupid. Okay. So, please. Snow Queen's Ice Dragon decided to have a Q&A on Twitter using the hashtag AskELJames. Quickly backfired because now you just gave everyone, like, a direct message link to post publicly to you and about you. Uh-huh. And so everyone just flooded it with questions about her lack of BDSM knowledge, about how Christian Grey is literally an abuser, a stalker, etc. But some of my favorites really just delved into criticizing her writing. So, ask E.L. James, what do you hate more, women or the English language?
Is this from Mara Wilson?
No, this is just from people.
Oh, okay.
Hashtag ask E.L. James, did you ever consider using a thesaurus or was that too much work? Have you ever held a dictionary?
Wow.
And then, I need advice on making a big romantic gesture. Should I put a GPS tracker in her phone and threaten her if she tries to leave me? Anyways, all of this eventually led to Mara Wilson weighing in on it, and she also asked questions about, like, the BDSM aspect of it. And so, when the 50 Shades of Grey trailer came out, it came out on Mara Wilson's birthday, and whoa, she was so pissed. And so she tweeted, the 50 Shades trailer is out on my birthday. Did E.L. James do this on purpose? Are we officially nemeses? You have not won this round, E.L. James. Not even with your pricey trailer complete with Beyonce. And she said, I am sad Beyonce got mixed up in this. And then it goes on to say, after she said, are we nemeses? She said, except we're not equally matched. Unlike her, I'm not a billionaire. And unlike me, she can't be bothered to read the BDSM Wikipedia article.
Damn. Does she ever respond?
Yeah, E.L. James called her a sad fuck.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Oh, so I'm kind of glad I didn't find that.
So it is really the sad fuck.
Yeah, jeez. Not cool, E.L. James. Not cool, Snow Queens. Yeah, she's... Jeez, God. This has just been a disappointment all around.
I also, like... I, like, want to read on air what Nick texted us today because I laughed so hard. We don't have to, but it was funny. Basically, was funny. Nick texted all of us, Nick from The Real Take 3, and is as disappointed in this movie as we are.
Yeah.
Ah-ha-ha-ha.
Which feels good.
It does, yeah.
Okay, well, if you guys don't have anything else, do you?
I have more things, but you could talk about BDSM. I think okay. It's more of a...
It's quite a bit, so you guys will have to bear with me here. I think it's interesting.
We have to strap in, as you yeah. would say.
Okay. Here it goes. I was curious to know exactly what the discrepancies regarding BDSM and the BDSM community, how they felt about the film, and what it really means to... be offensive to that community or mm-hmm. something. So, this is what I found out. Many interviews that I read by people who are involved in the BDSM community indicated that they thought not only was the movie bad, but the sex scenes didn't necessarily depict BDSM at all.
I also just feel like by guessing what people are like, I can assume that people see something like 50 Shades, and it's not like it's the first thing to inaccurately represent BDSM, but... I feel like people see something and they're like, that's what it's like. It's me doing something mean to a woman for myself. And it's like, it's very consensual mm-hmm. and pleasurable for both people. It yeah. should be. And yeah. so it's like when you have these people entering the community, kind of like you said, who don't know what the fuck they're talking about
yeah.
or mm-hmm. write a whole book about it.
Yeah.
Tends to be incorrect.
Yeah, a lot of the experts that I read said that this person obviously doesn't have a lot of sexual experience who wrote it. And you're absolutely experience. Right. Somebody who is a submissive, actively and consensually says to their dominant, this is what I want you to do to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not the dominant saying, I'm going to do these things to you and right. you're going to like it. So my last article that I read was super interesting. The guy who spoke on it, Dr. Charlie Ferrer, I hope I'm saying that right, is an intimacy and sex expert, BDSM educator, and founder of BDSM Writers Con. Mm. He talks
Which
on...
Which E.L. James has a lifetime ban from.
He spoke about what 50 Shades gets right and wrong about BDSM, and I just really like the way that he spoke, and here are four things on that topic.
Okay.
Ready. Number one, you should have an aspect of vanilla in your BDSM practice. Mm. The really good relationships do have an aspect of vanilla, and you see, like, Christian and Anastasia kind of goofing around and laughing about people who are vanilla and saying, that's not for them, that's stupid, I like to do things that are exciting. But people who are involved in BDSM, you're acting as your day-to-day life, and you incorporate the dominant facets into it. And couples who engage in BDSM still live traditional lives. Obviously, right. they go to the grocery store, they do their laundry.
White people taco.
He says they have hobbies that don't involve cable ties. Ha ha. He's a funny dude, this Dr. Ferrer. He said, number two, the red room is a little over the top.
Mm. Well, is Mr. Ferrer a billionaire?
I guess not. But he also says that a lot of times people who engage in BDSM have a room dedicated to that stuff and also a separate room, maybe like their marital bed or couple's bed mm. or something, where they only engage in like light stuff, like cuddling and stuff.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Mm-hmm. May I chime in with two things? Some of my facts that I came across having to do with the red room is that Dakota Johnson wasn't allowed to see it until that scene, mm. so her reaction would be genuine. But then something that I'm like, I bet Jamie Dornan just, like, fucked around. Mm-hmm. Apparently Sam Taylor Johnson said, I made Jamie spend a lot of time in there so he'd be very familiar. And I can just picture Jamie Dornan, like, on his phone.
Yeah.
Just sitting, sitting in that room being like, absolutely not.
And Sam is like, I'll shut the door to give you privacy. And he just sits in the corner.
He, like, FaceTimes his wife.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I'm in here.
Honey, I'm so tired. I don't want to go home.
That's funny.
Love that. Number three. Pain is only a part of the dynamic. Ferrer explains that BDSM doesn't exist in a vacuum. It isn't a shameful or secret activity that separates people from the outside world. And healthy BDSM relationships are about being vulnerable and guiding one another and accepting one another for who they are, which the 50 Shades universe doesn't always show. And number four, dominants don't actually lack emotion. He says the biggest discrepancy is Christian's cold nature and mistreatment of Anastasia.
But he has to be like a vampire. He's cold.
He says his cold role ones. As a dominant is likened to his lack of affection towards Anastasia, which he says is a misleading choice for representing mm. that. And I'm sorry, I had a fifth one. Number five, very, very important, if not the most important, BDSM should never be abusive. Mm. The series conflates Christian's difficult past with his sexual preferences, which perpetuates the common misconception that people who enjoy BDSM are somehow damaged.
Yeah, because then that gives it the implication that it's like, well, you're doing something bad because something bad happened to you. It's like, this isn't Dexter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be, like, this serial killer. It's like
They do.
Yeah. He could just be into it.
Having him not be into or not have empathy really leads him to sound like a sociopath or a psychopath. Mm-hmm. And the damaged aspect of it really looks like every serial killer that we've studied. if I can put a positive little button on that and on the movie itself, great ending that she leaves.
Yeah.
Series mm-hmm. should have ended there.
Yeah.
However, E.L. James just isn't smart. That's not... She did that by accident. She did not do that by design. She did it so that her book would have a cliffhanger, and then there would be subsequent films and movies, or subsequent books, However, like, that's how it should go. Anastasia should realize what's been done wrong to her and get out of that relationship. Mm-hmm. It sucks that we have to go through this two more times where nothing changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing a quote from Dakota Johnson where people are claiming, oh, your character is weak. And she says, I actually think that my character is strong. Like, she has the self-awareness to walk away from a situation that she finds mm-hmm. undesirable and dangerous, you know, mm-hmm. and that's really strong.
Yeah. But then later, Christian buys her a boat.
Yeah, then she just goes right back.
Boat.
I guess I'll just wrap up that little tidbit of info about BDSM with a quote from Dr. Ferrer. He says, I think the piece the 50 Shades misses is the actual emotional connection between the partners, especially when they're engaging in the act. They don't have that, and that's a very big disconnect.
Oh my God, what?
I'm so sorry. I've been saying that he's a guy this entire time, and she is a woman.
Her name's Charles?
Charlie. I'm so sorry, Dr. Charlie Ferrer is a woman. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I would love it, though, if, like, we just went back and did, like, she over your
face. Please do.
She is beautiful.
Yeah, she is beautiful.
She says, love and affection.
Too late, Kimmy. Too late.
It's my last sentence. She says, love and affection are actually very important parts of BDSM relationships, and these key aspects are lost in 50 Shades.
Wow, well, I like her.
Yeah. That, I just think that really does a disservice to the culture that a movie this popular would represent it in such a antithetical way.
Mm-hmm. So that there was something that you said about the like BDSM communities being more open about it and not so like secretive and shameful, which yeah. kind of leads into my last bit of facts, which is the comparison between the book and the movie. Here we go. In the books, apparently Kate, the friend, does find out about it, whereas in the movies she never does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so it's like maybe that could have been something more explored in the movies, especially if they're going to paint him as abusive, then they could have like this dialogue with her friend yeah. about is he abusive.
That's yeah. also very Alice in New Moon coming to Bella's aid and yeah. being her connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were watching it, I was like, there's no way that Anastasia shows up to see her mom clearly depressed, mm-hmm. clearly going through something, and her mom's like, he's so great, I love him.
Yeah.
Like, your daughter is showing signs of red flags. Like,
yeah.
you need to help her.
It's like in the beginning of The Invisible Man, when the friend's like, what? Why did you ask me to come here at 2 a.m.? Why are you freaking out? I'm gonna stay here until you tell me. There's another person that was cut from the film, or another piece of the film, which is apparently that he has a therapist named Dr. Flynn, and there's a lot of talk with the therapist about, like, his trauma and stuff. And I just feel like, again, that's another outlet to make him, like, a human being.
Thank God he goes to therapy.
And have a good story. So yeah. what the hell? This is another thing that I was trying to see if I could find something more concrete about this, but I did see quite a few articles about people just talking about how it's kind of portrayed in a bad light. Apparently, in the books especially, Anastasia, like, never eats. And it's, like, kind of, a lot of people are, like, the books glorify, like, the fact that she never eats. Like, Christian will try to get her to eat, and she'll, like, not eat full meals and stuff.
I believe that, because if I tried, guys. I read, like, 2 pages.
Oh, you did?
Oh, my God.
It's bad, right?
It's unreadable, because, yeah. like, I've watched all of Jenny Nicholson's videos where she will read fan fiction. Like, fan fiction written by 12-year-olds where One Direction kidnaps them.
Right.
And E.L. James starts her thing by being like, I brush my long brown hair and look at my blue eyes that are too far apart.
Oh my gosh.
My skin is so pale and I'm so skinny. It's just like, shut the fuck up.
My eyes are so big and ugly.
And it's, yeah. And I'm like, she's out there definitely just writing like the hot girl and everything. And then you,
yeah.
I think she's making Anastasia like, but don't even try. Like, I'm just not hungry. Or
it makes it seem like it's more of, like, I don't think it's really focused on, but it makes it seem like it's this kind of offhanded, like, no, like, that's another reason that I'm attractive. Because yes. I just, like, don't have this desire for food, really. Like, I don't want pancakes.
The only thing different would be, like, if she's like, oh, you know what I could go for? Like, a giant burger right now.
Right.
Even though I'm so skinny.
Isn't it? You guys, remember when funny. This joke died out, but it's one of our favorite jokes about how in movies, in indie movies, people think that girls, teenage girls, like, watch each other pee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're like all A24 movies.
Oh, literally, it's all A24 movies. I think it originated from a Tumblr post where it's like indie film director, oh my god, let's open on her peeing in the bathroom. And I've talked about this on the pod too, is that when I took a film class in college, it was like exemplified to me in Terminator, where it's like one of the Sarah Connors is eating a Snickers bar, and then boom, the Terminator's like in her house, like, fatty, I'm gonna kill you. I really agree with that, is that women are meant to be portrayed as like, I'm a stick and I will eat you under the table, or I'm a stick and it's cute.
Right, yeah.
I just eat like a little baby bird.
Yeah, both drive me nuts, because the one like that I hate in movies too is when an actress will take like a giant bite of a burger, but then the rest of the scene she never eats into the burger, and I'm like, that's how you stay so skinny, you stupid bitch.
That's right, women to be like fucking women. I love the cool girl monologue from Gone Girl, because it's everything that is everything.
Right.
She finally starts eating again and is like happy because I would have to drink beer with you and your friends, and I would still have to stay a size two. And like, Gillian just gets it. Yeah. Gillian, I love you. You should have written this movie.
Because when men see that in movies, it's like, what do you mean you can't drink a whole beer and stay a size zero?
Yeah.
Everyone in the movies does it all the time.
They make pancakes and it's like, ew, you want them too?
Right.
No. Not that. And then you eat one little bite and say, I'm stuffed.
Get that back.
No croutons. That's too much food.
I'm so full.
As you rub your boobs.
Is this so where the stomach is? I haven't eaten since 1997.
You know, oh, I think there's like
the last thing I had was baby formula.
I think there's like a movie or something where somebody goes, yeah, every time I eat, all the weight just goes to my boobs.
Oh, it's, it's How I Met Your Mother.
Is it? Really? I thought it was in Trainwreck.
Oh, no, it's I Feel Pretty. Emily Ratajkowski says it.
Does she?
Yes, but also in How I Met Your Mother, Robin's like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I just keep losing weight.
Yes, and Lily's mad at her. Yes,
because Lily's like pregnant, I think.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Anyways, that's exactly what women are like. All of us are a double zero. We eat tons, but we also never eat.
I eat a burger while also eating a piece of lettuce. Yeah.
I eat a noodle and I'm like satisfied.
But then when you're hungry, I'm hungry too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can go out with your friends and it's not a complex.
When I have popcorn, I eat it one kernel at a time. Not like I'm force feeding myself.
When I'm eating popcorn, I take the bowl, I toss it on my face, and eat whatever falls in my mouth.
These are the important conversations.
So, that's how 50 grades of, god damn it. 50
grades of shade.
This is how we make the episode 3 hours long.
Guys, let's make a parody called 50 Grades of Shade.
And it's starring Shay Lee Whitley.
Yes.
Okay, so my last few facts about the book, they're not as conversation-inducing, they're just little, like, these are different, is apparently in the first book, there's a fucking, there's a scene where they have period sex. That's okay, I suppose, but what's not okay is he just rips that tampon out because he decides that he wants to fuck her. Because she's like, I can't, I'm on my period, and he just goes, nah.
He doesn't rip it out.
No, not like aggressive. Not, it doesn't hurt her.
I don't
like,
want anyone touching
I
that
don't,
ever.
I don't. I'm not saying that I just want people willy-nilly pulling out my tampons.
You shouldn't.
I'm saying that he doesn't rip it out.
But he takes it out. Gross. It's not like she's like, okay. He's just like, no, we're going to have sex, and goes, goodbye. I can feel that.
I read a wild fact the other day, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how you know you can like feel things when people describe it or something.
Oh, yeah.
Mentally, your tongue knows what everything feels like. Like, look at something and you'll know what that would feel like. Can you feel it? Like, if I'm gonna lick this.
I fucking do.
Yeah.
Is that because, like, as babies, we just lick everything
probably.
And so we just know?
Yeah.
Kimmy's
looking around.
How do I get, I've obviously never licked the wax in a candle
but
before.
But you know what it'd be like. Yeah. I know exactly how that pillow tastes.
Maybe it's like because of the sensation we get with our fingers, we know how to translate that to our mouth.
And like our eyes and then history and stuff. But like, I can taste the chair, guys.
Yeah.
Another thing, apparently the books are much kinkier and they really wanted to kink it up, but they had to tone it down for NC-17 reasons because they didn't want to get that NC-17 rating.
Yeah. They wouldn't have made nearly as much money.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last little thing is just, I think that you must have mentioned it or I just saw it somewhere else, but there's no inner goddess mentioned in the movie, and apparently it's a huge part of the books.
It is.
And it's like kind of
like... on every fucking page.
Really?
Yep.
Apparently it's like the sexy version of the dark passenger. Like, she's like, this is my sexy self.
She's like, I went inside of myself and I said hello to my inner goddess. My inner goddess came out and it was her.
Okay, we need to write a parody sketch of the inner goddess talking to the dark passenger.
That's how we get famous on TikTok. Wow. And yeah, that's all that I got before we play our games.
Beautiful.
Wow. That was everything, right?
That was everything.
That was everything.
Cool. Wow.
That was fun.
That was fun.
I'm glad, because we were all like, fuck this movie.
Then it got dark, and then it got funny.
What, you know, if the least I can say about it is that it invites important conversations, I guess that's a positive.
Yeah, you came here for a TED Talk and we delivered.
Yeah.
And now we are going to play a game where we are going to recast the leads, not because we hate Dakota Johnson, we love her, but for fun.
And also because we kind of don't like Jamie Dornan in the role.
A little bit, and also because, as mentioned before, maybe, I don't remember if we talked about this in another take, there was a huge long casting process for this, with every name in Hollywood, like, thrown into the ring.
Right.
And obviously, I don't know if you guys came across this, E.L. James was demanding Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart.
I didn't see her name for some reason, but I did notice his, and I was like, what? Excuse me?
She's wackadoodle.
Yeah. What a fucking
Why would you put the actual people in your fucking
I don't know. And I'm ready to go for that.
Okay, go. Go for it. You're doing them all. Are we going around and doing like one at a time?
I would want to say my director with my actors because it kind of paints the picture of the movie.
So then you paint your picture first.
Oh, I'll paint my picture first. My director I am thrilled about, and it might be basic, but the light bulb went off and I was thrilled. Catherine Hardwicke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Because she gets it. She gets it. I think that she would have brought the right level of quirk to this, the exact blue tint that we needed. And you know what? I want that woman to get money. I hope she just would, like, rake it in and she could do whatever silly nonsense she wanted. And I trust her because I'm pissed about the Twilight franchise.
Isn't it interesting that she got taken off the same way that... Sam did?
For men.
Yeah.
As soon as something was a success, they, like, push women to the side and give it to men. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for my casting choices, I just love her and know that early on in her career, she did plenty of nudity and she was a very big up-and-comer at this time. And she was on the short list for this part. But then, thank God, she got something else that same year. It's Elizabeth Olsen.
I saw that. Yeah.
I picked her and then I saw her and I was mad. And I'm glad she didn't get the part because Age of Ultron came out that year. Mm-hmm. And where would we be without that and her, obviously. So I'm very happy and I wouldn't want to recast Dakota, but Elizabeth, there we go. Throw her up there.
Yeah.
For my boys, I don't know how I feel about my men. I went with this one because I think he looks like him and was like, you seem like generic man. Richard Madden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a hot man.
He's a very hot man, and he looks just like Jamie Dornan.
Yeah, he looks
But I feel like
him.
He could maybe give it a little bit more go. Mm-hmm. And then who I would, like, really like is Michael Fassbender, but he's too old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he could do it really well. Mm-hmm. Those are my choices.
Cool.
Those are my choices.
Yeah, I really liked the Elizabeth Olsen one when I saw it, so I'm glad that you thought of that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so my director, I feel like I don't totally... have, like, a firm grasp on this woman's style, but I really wanted to pick a female, and I was just kind of browsing through female directors, and, like, I feel like she's one of the few who I've seen enough of her movies that I'm like, I think you could take a stab at this, is Sofia Coppola.
Mm. I think she would get the subtleties of it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking
of The Beguiled
a quieter
a lot.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like she's, and because I'm like, it needs to be someone who can do the sexiness, but also, like, the artsiness.
I agree wholeheartedly. Sweet. I just think it would have been a much quieter movie, as you had said.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's very subtle.
Nuanced.
Yes.
Yeah, and then my man choice, I already told you guys the second that you brought it up because I was just being stupid. But but I want it to be Sebastian Stan. I feel like he's a really talented actor. He's really good at being silly. He's really good at being brooding. Like, I've seen him play all these things, and he's really good at being sexy and sexened up. He's going to be in a movie that I feel like is very much, like, about sex coming out soon. And then my female choice, I had a list of so many women that I was like, I cannot decide. And then when I thought of this one, I was like, that is the exact type of person I'm looking for this role. Emilia Clarke. Because I feel like she has the innocence about her, but obviously also she has, like, the firmness about her because she's the friggin' mother of dragons in Game of Thrones. She also has the quirkiness. And with her brown hair, I feel like she would have a very similar but unique vibe for the role.
It's an excellent choice. Mm-hmm. Did you read her little fact on IMDb?
No, but I did see she was shortlisted after I picked it.
She was, and then she said, I don't want to be typecast as the naked girl.
Right, and that was another thing, as I was thinking, like, she has done nudity before. Yeah. But it also, doesn't it feel, for some reason when I was casting this, I felt like, for all the men, I was like, cool. And for all the women, I was like, I don't want to subject you to this. Like, I thought that for every single one.
No, yeah, that's why I said in take two, it's not that we're subjecting these actors to it. It's just that we think they would have done a better job. Okay.
I'm excited.
I'm so excited for mine. I'm glad none of you guys had mine. I didn't think you would, though, but I don't know. Okay. For my choice for Anastasia, it's Emily Browning.
You fucking would, Kimberly.
Nice.
She's a great choice. She's 32 currently.
She's a baby.
Yeah, she looks young, and I think these two people I picked, they're only 2 years apart in age, and I think they could do it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Emily Browning for Anastasia. And for Christian, I pick Oliver Jackson Cohen.
Oh, jeez.
He's 34.
Oh. I don't know who is that.
He's in Luke. Invisible Man, and he's Luke in Hell House.
Oh, nice.
That's good. Right?
Did it make you nervous when we brought up Invisible Man earlier?
I was like, we've seen him be sweet and vulnerable in Hell House.
Yes.
We've seen him be scary and manipulative in Invisible Man.
Yeah. And in Bly Manor.
And in Bly Manor. Yeah, I think that he would be a great choice.
He's a great, like, turn on a dime from happy to scary.
That's a good one.
Good. My choice for director is Joe Wright.
Who was?
The director on Pride and Prejudice on Atonement.
No, I was going to say he was going to be it.
He was?
Was he really? Going to be it.
He was going to be it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, my God. I just think, like, what this movie lacks and what it needed is subtext. And if you watch Atonement, boy, do they have some sexual subtext.
They do.
And I think it would just be so much more grandiose, and the score would be beautiful. And
that's crazy that we all picked someone who was actually shortlisted.
Right? Yeah, yours would be very competent. Yours would just be a whole different mood, and mine would be what this movie is just a fun Twilight dumbass time, you know?
Yeah, but a better dumb fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good choices, you
fun.
Guys.
That was fun.
Sorry, Nick, that we didn't think it was art, but I think that you, sounds like you're going to say the same thing. And we had a fun time regardless.
If you have listened to this whole episode of the podcast, please, if you haven't already done so, go listen to Take 3 Movie Podcast's episode on 50 Shades of Grey.
Thank you so much, nephews. We love you a million, 3,000. And
we love doing crossovers with you.
We love it.
Yes. It enriches my life.
Yeah, get ready for Twilight next time.
I mean, I'm down.
Should we say what we're doing next week when we return to our format?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So next week when we return to our format, I, Kayleen, will be doing a movie that none of us have seen, not even me yet. It's Ali, starring Will Smith. And we haven't really done a sports movie, so we were thinking that would be cool as well.
Sport.
Switch it up.
Sport. Touchdown.
Yeah, spike that.
Yeah, goal it.
Goal.
Yeah, tap that. I mean, what?
What?